Pippa Hudson on Cape Talk. Call Pippa on 021 446 0567.
Now, if like me, you were a child in the 1980s, then I have no doubt that like mine, your teenage parties and your university years were dominated by the sounds of UB40. They may have been your first introduction to the genre of reggae. Maybe you made the trip to Sun City to watch them live in concert. Perhaps like me, you have a memory of a magical slow dance at a school social set to the soundtrack of Kingston Town. I've got one of those. The chances are you probably still have a copy of at least one of the Labour of Love albums somewhere in your collection, and no doubt you still know every word to every song. I hope you've also got some tickets in hand for their concert tomorrow night, because Ali, Astra and Mickey are back in town on their 25th anniversary tour, and I'm having a bit of a moment because they are sitting right here with me in studio as well. Welcome, everybody.
Nice to see you, Pippa.
It's such a pleasure to have you with us, and welcome back to Cape Town, because it's not your first visit, is it, Ali?
No, we've been coming back since, we upheld the cultural boycott, so yeah. We didn't come to South Africa until it was one man, one vote, and Mr. Mandela was released. So, since then, we've been here about 56 times, okay. I don't know, something like that, yeah.
And I know you've been to Cape Town before, and you've really enjoyed our city, haven't you?
I love Cape Town. We were here... was it last year or 18 months ago, something like that. We saw some stuff that we'd never seen before, even though we've been coming here since the 80s, you know. Mm-hmm. Cape Town's beautiful and we love it, yeah.
We're so pleased to have you with us again. Just say, for the sake of our audience, if there's something you've always wanted to tell them or ask them or know about, here's your chance. You can give us a call on 021-446-0567 or send an SMS to 31567. Maybe you want to leave a voice note as well telling us which is your favorite UB40 song and why. How has it been the soundtrack to your life? We'd love to hear some of those stories. And if you think you really know your stuff, I might make your day by giving away some tickets after the interview. I think most people know something of the story about how you came to be and about how your band got its name, that it is the name of the unemployment benefits form in the UK. But can you tell us a little bit more? Astro, what haven't we heard? How did you guys all meet?
Well, half the band, though, was at school together in the same class. Me and Mickey, we was in the same class at another secondary school. After the band, well, after everybody had left school, most people were unemployed. Mm. And so
we were disenfranchised. Yeah, there's more Thatcher's Britain, you know.
Yep. Yeah, so there's more chance of becoming a band than there was of having a regular job. And so we thought, well, okay, now's the perfect chance. If you want to become a, you know, get a band together, now's the perfect chance. You've got nowhere in particular to be, so you could treat it like a proper job. You know, rehearse from 9 to 5 for 6 months, a year, down in the cellar.
Taught ourselves to play by listening to records, you know. So really? we learned parrot fashion from Sly and Robbie records, you know.
That's amazing.
In fact, one particular one called Cross the Border by Gregory Isaacs, yeah, and Sly and Robbie. And we just learned parrot fashion, how to play our instruments, and then 6 months of practice. And then we were off, up and running, and it was only about our 12th show that we'd ever played when Chrissy Hines from the Pretenders, she came and saw us at the Rock Garden, a little club in London, and she invited us on her British tour. She was number one at the time with her band, the Pretenders, with Brass in Pocket and all that. We didn't think about it much. We went, yes, please, and we did
that. Oh, right, if we must, yeah.
And we released our first single called King and Food for Thought, a double A-side, and it went to number 4, and we didn't look back after that. And we're still here now, in it to win it, still selling out and doing our thing, flying the flag for reggae.
So it's nearly 40 years later. I mean... Yep. Let's talk about the reggae. I mean, Mickey, it's one thing to say, okay, we didn't have any other jobs to do so we could focus on our music, but why a reggae band in particular?
It was just the music that we all loved and all our friends loved, and it was the music that spoke to us. It wasn't all about, you know, love and stuff like that. It was about politics and life and the important stuff. So that was the big attraction, I think, for all of us.
You all grew up in Birmingham, and my understanding is you grew up in a neighbourhood that was quite racially integrated, quite where you were exposed to all kinds of sounds and flavours of life, if I can call it that. So you had a slightly different upbringing to what some people enjoyed in a very sort of one-dimensional community where they didn't have that exposure to other sounds, Ali?
Yeah, we lived in the multicultural part of Britain, and, you know, if you went on the streets of Borstal Heath in the 80s or late 70s or 80s, and picked eight kids off the street, they would have looked like UB40, you know. Mm. Unfortunately, our dreams of a rainbow nation and everything else went out the window when we got hip-hop, you know, and and then suddenly there was self-imposed segregation and all that stuff, you know, and area code wars and all that sort of, that American segregated thing happened, you know. But yeah, when we were kids, we grew up all together, you know, and we were the, you know, the real, we were the real deal, really. We were multiracial kids growing up, but we were all unemployed, so we were all in the same boat, you know. And yeah, that's what UB40 was, basically.
Okay. You've mentioned Chrissie Hynde and the role she played in your careers. I'm interested to know if you're still in touch with her. Have you managed to keep a relationship? Obviously, there were lots of songs where she featured very prominently, certainly during the 1980s.
Isn't there were two big songs. We did I Got You, Babe, cover of the Sonny and Cher hit from the 60s, and that went to number one for us in mostly all over the world. And then we did Breakfast in Bed, which was a Dusty Springfield song, actually, that we knew as a reggae song by Lorna Bennett, Scotty and Lorna Bennett. So we sort of meet up with Chrissie every now and then, don't we? You know, at rehearsal rooms in London.
Auntie Chrissie.
Auntie Chrissie.
Auntie Chrissie, yeah. And yeah, she's a delightful lady, and you know, we're still friends, yeah, of course.
Now, you've touched on one aspect that I wanted to ask you about, namely the cover versions. I think many of your fans discovered these songs through UB40. I still meet plenty of people, if you say to them, Red, Red Wine is actually a cover, they don't believe you. No ways did Neil Diamond write that. But talk to me about that process, because on the Labour of Love albums in particular, you deliberately set out to give a reggae twist to songs that you loved. Was it that deliberate that you chose music that spoke to you and wanted to put your own spin on it, or did it happen sort of more organically than
that? Well, the Labour of Love series, basically it was to answer the question that we were most often asked by journalists, which is, why do you love reggae? Mm-hmm. So Labour of Love 1 with Cheerio Baby, Kingston Town, Many Rivers to Cross, Red Red Wine, all those songs, they're the songs that we grew up listening to as children. As reggae was being formed, basically, you know. And then we did Labour of Love 2 and 3, which sort of continued in the same theme. Then 20 years passed, and record companies mostly were saying, when are you going to do another Labour of Love? Because it was very successful. We sold 21 million of them, you know.
One of them to me.
There you go, so, yeah, we thought enough time had passed, and that's why we've done the real Labour of Love. But, you know, people say, do you get sick of playing Red, Red Wine or Kingston Town? But, of course, we don't, because we covered them in the first place because we loved them. We loved them, and we grew up listening to the reggae originals, you know. But they weren't reggae originals, most of them. They were covers themselves of R&B tracks that had come over from America, you know.
Is it true that Red Red Wine, actually, you covered a cover version? It wasn't actually Neil Diamond's version of the song that you first knew.
We knew it by Tony Tribe, and it was like it was a ska song, actually. So we'd grown up as 10-year-olds and, you know, about that age, listening to Red Red Wine by Tony Tribe. So we covered that, and nobody was more surprised than us to find out that it was Neil Diamond. It said N Diamond on the single, I can remember, on the vinyl.
So but it was either Neville or Negus.
Yeah, Negus Diamond, we thought it was. But there you go.
One of our fans listening, there are lots of fans on the SMS line just saying how much they love your songs. Lyndall saying, I love Kingston Town. It's got such good rhythm and vibe to my friends. I've played it over and over. I knew every word to the song. Your niece has already got her tickets for tomorrow night and can't wait to hear Red Red Wine. Somebody asking anonymously, is there any song you wish you'd written and could claim as your own?
Well, you know, a lot of people thought that we'd become a covers band and we'd sold out and everything because of the success of the three Labour of Love albums.
Yeah.
But there were another 21 self-penned albums that we'd made, you know, and our biggest ever seller was called Promises and Lies, which was a self-penned album. But it did have Can't Help Falling in Love on it, you know, which I'm sure helped sell a few copies in America. But that sold 10 million in America alone, you know. But no, we're happy with the songs that we've written, and we're happy with the songs that we cover, you know. And we don't feel a way about covering songs, because that is part of what reggae is, you know. Covers is synonymous to reggae, you know. Collaborations and covers is what's made reggae.
For those who might have just tuned in a little bit late, with me in studio are Ali, Astro and Mickey of UB40. The big show is tomorrow night at the Grand West Grand Arena, and I hope you've already got your tickets. If you haven't, I am going to give you a chance to win some in a couple of minutes' time. But let's talk, Mickey, about the collaboration required. You were, I think, 8 originally in the band. That's a large number of creative forces to direct towards a sort of a unified goal. And of course, it all came to an end at some point, and you guys have gone off on your own, and the rest have gone off in another direction on their own. Was that a challenge for you in the early days, that 8 of you all had your contributions and your input, wanting to be part of the creative process?
I suppose the one common factor was that we all loved the music. It's a shame that the split came about for every reason you can think of apart from music, but it's something we have to get on with, you know, it's happened.
It's old news now, it's 10 years ago,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I think the fans voted with their feet when Astro came and joined me and Mickey 5 years ago now. You know, we've been on tour ever since, and they're selling out arenas. A new album went in at number 2, you know, I think 9 weeks ago now. It's still in the charts in England. So, you know, we're enjoying a bit of a renaissance, and we're very happy about that.
Of course, you two are the original voices of UB40, so the sound is your sound more than any other.
Yeah, well, if you're going to buy a UB40 ticket, you can buy UB40 or you can buy UB40 featuring Ali, Astro and Mickey. We always make that distinction because we don't want people to think we're the old band, you know. We've surpassed what they do, and we're happy promoting reggae as we always have, you know. And, like I said, the fans wanted a reunion, and it happened when Astro rejoined me and Mickey. You know, so there's your reunion right there. And here we are, the real deal, ready to play tomorrow night for everybody here in Cape Town.
With a lot of fans really looking forward to it. 9 weeks of a new album in the charts. Does it ever get old? I mean, you've got, I think, 30-plus albums under your belt now. Does it ever lose that sparkle seeing UB40, your names on the chart?
No, never.
No, we were seeding.
That's like the last part of the jigsaw, isn't it? You know, you go and it's... You work a beaver away in a studio, and you're hoping that you're creating something that the world's going to love. But you only find out if it's a gem is after the fact, and that's after the public have decided.
Yeah,
they make the hits, not the band.
Yeah, we were seething. We should have had a number one, but Hugh Jackman and his crew with that big movie album, they pipped us to the post, so we only got a number 2 out of it. But that still makes us old and very happy.
You should have had a Grammy as well. I mean, you had lots of nominations. Does it matter that you never sealed it with a win?
No. A Grammy is the industry patting you on the head, you know, and we've never played the game, really, like most people. We've always been kind of autonomous, you know, away from the music industry, really. So we don't need patting on the head by them. And, you know, people live, figures don't, you know, so we're just happy still in it to win it, you know, in number 2. After 35 years in the biz, nearly 40 years in the
biz. Not bad going at all. The last thing to ask you is what the fans can expect from the show tomorrow night, guys.
Well, the fans can expect a greatest hit show, basically, and a smattering of songs from the new album. We're not self-indulgent. We know that people want to hear the songs that they've grown up with, that they listen to on the school run, chilling out or working out. So it's going to be every hit that you can remember. And
a few of the new ones from the new Labour of Love album that's flying high for us at the moment.
We can't wait to hear it. Tomorrow night at the Grand West Grand Arena, the concert brought to you by Big Concerts, and they'll be moving on to Durban and Pretoria after their turn in Cape Town. A couple of tickets left, I think not many, so please, if you haven't already bought them, go on to bigconcerts.com. Prices ranging from 460 to 860 rand a ticket. And after the little musical break I'm going to give you now, I'm looking for 2 massive UB40 fans to put through their paces. We've got a bit of a band-related quiz to put you through, and if you emerge the victor, you will take away 2 very sought after UB40 tickets for tomorrow night's show. If you think I've just described you, get dialing now, please, on 021 446 0567. Great to have you guys with us in studio. Lovely to have you back in South Africa, back in Cape Town, and we hope you have a wonderful time tomorrow night with the fans.
I'm sure we will.
We will. Big love to everybody out there in Cape Town.
Ali, Astro and Mickey of UB40, and we're going to play you a bit of one of the songs Ali mentioned a little while ago. It was one of the collaborations with Chrissy Hynde, a cover of the original by Sonny and Cher, which means you can probably sing along, your kids and your mom and dad can also sing along all at the same time. It's I've Got You, Babe.
They say we're young and we don't know. Won't find out until we grow. Well, I don't know, baby, if that's true. 'Cause you got me, baby, I got you. Baby, I got you, baby, I got you, baby. They say our love won't pay the rent before it's earned. Our money's always spent. I guess that's so we don't have a lot, but at least I'm sure of all the things we got. Baby, I got you, baby, I got you, baby. I got flowers.